We did a lot of ghost bashing just for the first half of the show. And then all of a sudden we started having technical glitches for the first time ever, which I think proves ghosts are real. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon, episode 90. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm episode 90.
Are you?
Wait a second.
You're naming yourself now after the specific
episode. I think I was not thinking very clearly and I was paying too much attention to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to do something totally different for this show.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to listen to what you're saying.
Ugh.
And so I'm David Edrick.
Oh, geez.
Welcome to episode 90 of Sneaky Dragon.
Oh, that's terrifying that you would actually start paying attention and putting in some effort.
And that makes me kind of excited because only 60 more shows will be at episode 150.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, thanks for tuning into our math podcast. Now, Dave, when's our next prime numbered show?
Our next prime, I don't know, what is 99?
91, I would assume.
Oh, okay. What is a prime number?
A prime number is something that can only be multiplied by, well, it can multiply it by itself.
Okay.
But like, if you basically say.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I do. One is a prime, two is a prime, three is a prime, four is not a prime.
Okay.
Because it can be like 2 times 2 equals 4. But it can only be multiplied by itself. And that's what a prime number is. So 91, I believe, would be a prime number.
So four can't be a prime number.
No, it's not.
You are such a mathist.
I'm probably getting that somewhat wrong. Damn it. Why don't we have Sean Stewart on this show? Because he would know this. Yeah.
Yeah. He would make it more complicated, though.
I still keep trying to encourage the guy to do like a fun math thing, some sort of math.
Oh, yeah. Math
show.
Is so fun.
It is. Well, to him,
oh,
it
totally.
Is. Like, he has like a hoot with the math, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And I'm like, well, go ahead, do that.
Sure.
Now, you know what's a hoot for us is doing plugs. So let's do our plugs
at
the top.
Do your plugs at the
top. This is our New Year's resolution. And my New Year's resolution is to do my New Year's resolutions 4 months in advance now so that I actually get them done.
Okay.
So that's why I'm doing
this
them
is,
now.
This, so your New Year's resolution for 2014 is to do the plugs at the beginning of the show.
Is to do and to do my resolutions 4 months early.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen
of the jury,
we all fear death, and we all fear disease, and we all fear pain.
That's
but
true.
But we all like shirts, so why not pick up a Sneaky Dragon shirt? Now, I'm not saying it cures all diseases.
Pick up our painful, deadly shirt.
No,
that's what you're saying, right?
No, I'm saying it doesn't.
Our painful, deadly, scary shirts.
No, my angle is. Well, you could choke a guy with it, but what I'm saying is, I'm not saying our shirts cure all diseases. I'm not saying. Our shirts cure death. I'm just saying no one who has ever bought one of our shirts and was wearing it has died.
Yet.
You say yet. Mm-hmm. But that is up for debate.
Okay.
You know, once someone dies wearing one, well, I'll have to take this, our guarantee off the table.
That'll...
But to this point, our shirts make you immortal. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So far.
At this point in time.
So good.
Yeah.
Anyone wearing one of those shirts
is
healthy. As I would say a clam, but I don't know what the health of clams is nowadays with the state of the ocean.
To be safe, you should knock wood.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because David is a druid.
Because there's a lot of people listening to the show who bought shirts.
Oh, sorry. Hello?
Who's there? What's the...
knock wood. Knock wood who?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I heard one the other day and it was...
Okay, let's do it.
No, I've got to... No, I have to think about
who's
it.
Who's there?
No, I can't think about it right now. Okay, interrupting cow.
Interrupting
cut. No.
All right.
There we go.
Damn. What's the name of the guy from In the Loop?
The actor Peter Giraldi?
All right. Let's do this one. Okay. Okay.
Who's there?
Yes, I'm Peter Giraldi.
Okay. Thank you.
Because he's playing the new Doctor Who.
If only this was yet another live show. So
wait, let me do it again.
People can see a totally self-satisfied smile.
Let's do it again. All right, ready?
It's beyond great.
Okay, here we go. All right, let's do it.
Okay. What am I doing
You're
now?
You're going like, who's there? Ready? Okay, so here we go.
Okay. Peter Giraldi.
No.
I have to say who's there. I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. Who's there?
Peter Giraldi, you fuck. Because he swears a
he's
lot.
He's on In the Loop.
He'll be
swearing a lot as Doctor Who as well.
Oh, completely. It's all adult now. Well, here's the thing.
Doctor Fuck.
What I would love to see, then we'll get back to plugs. What I would love to see is like them do like one episode of Torchwood just so he can step out of Doctor Who and go into Torchwood. And then he just swears like crazy.
He was on Torchwood.
Yeah. And then he comes on back and but he was not playing the Doctor in that one. He was playing a terrible, terrible person. Well, a person with an ethical dilemma.
Yeah.
Okay, plug number two. David, do you like reading?
Do I like reading?
Yes.
I do like reading.
Good. Listen, I wrote a book. A mini book. A small book. A little bit of a book.
Okay.
A booklet.
Is it a pamphlet?
No.
Not a pamphlet?
Bigger than a pamphlet.
It's bigger than a pamphlet.
But it's smaller than a bread book.
Okay. So it's not a diatribe against the local bus system.
No.
It's not a pamphlet.
I'm no buzzer kill.
Okay.
Buzzer kill. Now, boy, you got to know a lot to have that joke really make you lightly smile.
Really
we've got in our buses, we've got a little pamphlet. It's called The Buzzer. Mm-hmm. You can read it and think about local things. Anyway, I wrote a book mainly about improv and life in the arts and how not to make yourself nuts while doing it. And it's called It's About Tolerance, Stupid. And it's available.
What?
It's available on Kindle.
Is it called It's About Tolerance and you just called me stupid?
Mm-hmm. It's available on, you know what, go on Amazon and see. Go on Amazon, it's available on Kindle right now. It's about tolerance, stupid. I'm trying to get it on the e-books,
okay.
But it's they got some tricky business on there to get on the e-books.
Why?
Well, because they ask for your tax number, and we've got one for our corporation, but it's not accepting it because it thinks Canada's got cooties. So I've got to deal with that.
So true.
Yeah. And also, it doesn't recognize our URL as legitimate.
Oh.
So anyway, there's that.
Sucks.
So we'll see.
You see, because I can't read it. I can't buy it myself.
So I'm going to say this.
Because I have a Kobo.
Push comes to... Well,
which doesn't work with Kindle.
Now, what can you read PDFs on your Kobo?
I can read PDFs.
Now, here's what I'm going to do.
You should make an EPUB as well.
Yeah, that's what they say. I'm getting a bunch of that, but I can't find out yet how to make an EPUB.
Okay, like, well, let me tell you.
No. I'll just tell you. Let me finish
okay,
the sentence
okay.
first. There was a comma there.
Let me finish it for you.
Okay, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
As my editor.
Go ahead.
The only way to do an EPUB that I was finding was to do it for free, and I want to charge for it. I know you could have a PayPal honor systems
sure,
set
sure.
up and what have you.
Well, you know, we could do it in the store.
We could do it in the store. We could
on sneakydragon.com.
Yeah. Well, you know what? In fact, let's do it in the store.
We could do it that way.
There. Deal done. Boom, boom. We'll figure that out later. So anyway,
yeah.
You go to the store, get a shirt, get a book, enjoy yourself, have a read, why not wear a shirt and read a book.
Yeah.
Done. Moving on. David, hello.
Hi.
How have you been?
Good, thank you.
Good. Glad to hear
you. I have nothing to plug.
Well,
should I have something to plug?
You do. You've got shirts. Like you're,
but you already
you're part of the damn corporation.
You plug the shirts.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to double plug.
Okay, but don't act like that's my business.
Oh, okay. Okay. Like, I don't. I'm above that kind of thing.
And you're the arts guy.
I'm above that.
Like, man, it's not about commerce.
Oh, man.
For me.
Yeah.
I'm in it for the podcasting, Jack.
I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it for the people. I'm in it for the great people that we meet.
That's right.
At every live show, we meet all these great Pikachus.
And people who like Pikachus are the luckiest Pikachu. I got nothing. I've got absolutely nothing. Listen, in Vancouver, we've had sun. For 7 months.
It seems like it.
That's it.
And yet, I'm not complaining.
No, you can't
because
complain.
Of my whole deck situation.
Yeah.
My whole lack of deck on the deck with things underneath exposed to the elements. Not totally, as I say, I put a tarp on it.
Right.
And I even angled. I put a piece of wood on end, a 2x10, maybe a 2x12, actually, on end. And,
yeah, that sounded wrong, the first one.
a 2x12, and then I made like a tent with the tarp. So theoretically, the water will just roll off.
Yep.
And not drop into the shop / studio, thereby wetting everything. Before I repaired the deck, when it was its original falling apart state, I opened the door one day, just checking on it. It was a torrential downpour.
Right. It was also part of your OCD. Got to check every door.
I was like, I wonder what's going on in the shop. So I opened the door, and there was this giant hole, basically. It wasn't like visible, but the water was pouring down through it like it was a giant hole right onto my table saw.
Oh.
Like there's a giant waterfall just pouring down on it. So I just gently closed the door and left it like that. Because I just said, well, what can I do? I don't have anything.
I would say anything.
Yeah, I
anything would have been
the thing. I ran to the store and got a big tarp and put it on my deck.
This, by the way...
my story sounded better.
This is a backdoor pilot for our new podcast, Decking Around. Where Dave will describe deck mm-hmm. crises he's been through.
My deck crisis. Well, because when we bought the house, I thought
it was haunted.
It is haunted. Our house is haunted, by the way. But besides that,
nope. We got to go with that. That's more interesting than anything you're about to say next. What do you mean? Your
well,
house
what's
is haunted?
Weird is not just me, but other people in the house have seen a small girl standing in the hallway.
Well, you had two small girls.
No. But who aren't us?
Who aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like two or three times, different people in the house have seen.
Have they seen the same girl?
Yeah. So it's really strange. And it's just a kind of out of your eye kind of thing. So
always
I'm like,
the
worried.
Same hallway?
Just the same part of the hallway, yeah, standing in it.
And
and a child died of cancer who lived in our house.
Okay.
So it's really weird.
Okay.
But I think it was a boy who died, so I have no idea where this girl came from. I think it's one of those kind of weird optical confusions you get from just the way that the light and the shadow hits in that part of, in the hallway, because there's three different doors there,
mm-hmm.
all kind of light and dark coming into that one spot. So
right.
if you're just kind of glancing in that direction, your eyes can create a shape.
Yeah, that's something I'd like to try sometime, is peripheral vision optical illusions. And I've never seen anyone do that kind of thing, but just like have something, I'm going to put something in the corner of your eye real fast. You got to keep looking forward. Mm-hmm. You tell me what it is.
Yeah.
And then like get to the point where it's like, did you just see something like a kid or what have you? Because, you know, your brain puts together jigsaw puzzle pieces in very different ways.
Well, I did that with a guy once, and he never got the answer, which was a bullet. And to this day, he has not answered it.
Okay. And that guy you sometimes see in your hallway going, I don't get it, dude.
I still don't get it.
By the way, have you seen my daughter?
When we moved in, I thought the shop was great because it's a big deck. It's 15 feet wide and 23 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's big. And so it had this big room underneath it. Big, they were using it as a storage area at the time. So it was just chock full of furniture. And so I looked in there and I thought, well, it looks good. It looks good. I couldn't really see very much because it was full of furniture and wooden ducks.
Wooden ducks.
This guy collected decoys. Yeah. He collected decoys.
Now, were they the real decoys or were they just the decoys so you didn't notice the good decoys?
They were the real decoys.
Okay.
Thanks for that setup.
Sure.
And there was like a ton of them in there. And I thought, are they leaving these here? Because there's so many in there. I just thought, this is really strange. But when we actually moved in, everything was gone, including the ducks and the shells. I took all the shells with them.
It would be interesting to be a decoy duck hunter. And you just want to...
That's all you do is just kill people's decoys?
Decoys, yeah, because you do not want to kill a duck, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, say you're, you know, like a vegan type hunter person. You're like, I want the fun of duck hunting, but where can I go and shoot a duck and not hurt a duck? Hey, how about those decoy ducks? Blammo. Fun!
I think if you're a vegan, you're prescribed to not have fun, or fun is prescribed.
Mm.
Is there not?
Is that right?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Just the usual anti-vegan talk.
Because you're so pro cheese.
I'm so pro cheese. I'm part
based
of the cheese
in the
lobby.
Pocket of big cheese.
And wooden,
as most Canadians
and
are.
Wooden duck decoys. Because there's plastic.
By
ones.
The way, that's our new spin-off podcast, Ducking Around. It'll be on after Decking Around. Please continue.
Because these were like handmade,
ducks and
hand carved ducks.
Okay.
So it wasn't like, because you can buy plastic ones. You
yeah,
can buy all you want.
If you're that kind of guy. If you're one of those guys.
That's right. If you're into the plastic decoys. But this guy was like old school with that's his right. wooden decoys. Actually,
he's
made them
got
out of,
one of those I got wood shirts.
He was really old school. He made them out of rock. That's he's so old.
Yeah.
The most ineffective ones.
Yeah.
But anyway, so when they moved out and they moved away, that's when I discovered that there was a leak in the shop. And whenever it rained out, there'd be like 2 inches of water in the one end of the shop. And because I couldn't see it because it was full of furniture. I don't know why they wanted to store their furniture where it was
and
wet.
And he would just walk into there and he would go, nice weather. If you're a duck and look around and...
and then look at the ducks and go, am I right? Am I right, fellas? Huh?
That was back when there was a little ghost duck.
And then he'd blow his little duck call. That's right, guys. How you kidder. And so... The other thing was, is
not
that
a lot of duck comedians out there
no, they're so
performing
few.
For an all duck crowd.
they're appreciative though. Ducks love all that stuff.
Hey, where are you going? I'm not finished my act. We're just going south. Did you not like the show? No. We like the show. It's fine. We're just going south. We just gotta go south. That's what we gotta do.
Ducks love the rape jokes. You just have an otter or an audience of ducks and otters all.
Oh Lord. Just watched a cartoon that was to the tune of DuckTales, and it was all the things that ducks really do. Oh, ducks are terrible.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Necrophiliacs, they're rapists, they're cannibals.
Yes.
Oh, everything's terrible.
It's a strange ecology.
They're lucky they are so adorable looking. They have the one thing that you need in nature to make us not want to kill you a lot, which is, though we do kill them.
A twisted penis?
No, we don't care for that too much. It's a smile. If you're an animal that looks like you're smiling a little bit, then that cuts a lot of slack with us.
Otters?
Yeah, otters, dogs.
Seals.
Yep. Some people.
clowns. That's right. We're willing to cut them so much slack We'll even read a book about them called It.
We're not talking about It again. We're done. We're done with talking about It.
And then the other thing was, is that I guess the whole thing was rotting, which okay. we didn't really, because we couldn't go inside and look. So to put out, to kind of, rather than repair it, he just put pillars, like posts on the center of the shop. So it seemed like a really great thing, like having a 15 by 23 foot shop. It was actually three different rooms, basically, because there was posts down the center of the shop. But the really funny thing was, funny in the sense of it didn't kill me, was that it didn't have any posts on the side. He had taken those out because they were all rotten, and he just put everything on these posts going down the center of the shop. Yeah, it was pretty dangerous. So we tore it all down and rebuilt it and made it better.
Good on you.
Stronger. Faster.
And that's what brought the ghost.
No, the ghost was there.
The only thing that was keeping the ghost away
was
those center posts.
Was this a rickety shop? Because it was very dangerous, and the ghost didn't want to risk it.
Ghosts are scared. Look, ghosts have died once. They don't want to die again. If you want to talk to someone who's safety conscious, I mean, that's why they're in that nice open hallway. That's like the safest place to be in the house.
Well, that's why they're standing in the doorway in the hallway, I mean.
Oh, very smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a smart
earthquake.
Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, if you have an earthquake, that's what they tell you is follow the ghosts.
Because who wouldn't trust a ghost? I mean, they know how to live, right? Yeah. Am I right?
Well, look,
ghosts know how to live.
They've died once, so, you know, learn from their mistakes.
They're not going to do it again.
That'd be great if, like...
I think there's a limitless number of mistakes you can make that end up with death.
That is true. But you've got, you know, in high school where they have the guy come and just like, let me tell you about drugs. I used to take a da-da-da, and I'm going to tell you the story.
Yeah.
That'd be great if it was a ghost. And just like, some of you might think it's fun drunk driving. And they show you the movies. Well, I'm a ghost here to tell you it's not, motherfuckers. And like, well, you can't swear. I could swear I'm a fucking ghost. What are you going to do? Sue a ghost? You won't. And who hired this guy to talk?
Who hired the ghost?
Yeah, what are we paying him in? Ghost bucks? Like, what are we...
The ghost talent agency.
And the ghost's like, no, this is part of my Karmatic service. I gotta make it to the next level.
Wait, is it called Karmatic?
Yeah, Karmatic service. That's what ghosts have to do.
Okay.
Karmatic service. Okay. You know, because, like, you did some bad stuff in life, so they gotta do a lot of community service work.
Yeah.
You know, talking to kids.
I just never heard the word.
They can't pick up litter, so all they gotta do is, like, talk to people and just, like, you know, they do a lot of counseling with people. Yeah. That's what ghosts do.
Yeah, they're all kind of like, I've been there.
Yeah.
No, literally, I've been there. I was actually there when that happened to you.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I caused that.
Okay.
That's what the ghost is telling you.
Okay, sure.
The whole time. You're giving him things. I can't believe my wife fell off the porch. And yeah, I was there.
I
scared her and she fell off.
Anytime I'm reaching for some drugs, it goes, boo! Boo! Don't do drugs. I'm like, all right, fine, you stupid ghost. Get out of here. Boo!
That would be the most effective way. To stop people from doing drugs. Actually, you know what?
Would it?
Scratch that. That would cause people to do drugs.
Why?
Because of the annoyance factor of having ghosts everywhere booing you for whatever you do.
Well, you just got one ghost.
Because they would not just stop there. It would just become this constant criticism from ghosts all the time. Like everything you did. Having sex with your wife. Boo! Boo, terrible! Oh my God, my voice is going way up. Terrible job. Terrible. You know, just, would you want that?
I do not know.
You wouldn't want that.
Now, here's the thing that I don't get about ghosts, where they're standing in the hallway and whatnot, is the singularity of purpose. Like, when you're a human being, you're distracted by shit, right? Are you reading an article while we're talking?
No, go on, keep going.
I think you're reading an article on the computer while we're talking.
No, I'm not.
Are you just shutting it down?
No, keep going.
Okay, looks like you're looking something up. Okay, I'll ignore you. But it's just like, now you take like a little girl, right? And if she's standing in the hallway, what little girl has the patience to stand in a hallway for that long?
Ghosts.
Why? No, that's not a little girl then. That's bullshit. I don't buy that. Like a little girl just like running around and like distracted and
flying a ghost kite in your house?
Well, I can see her knocking your books off the shelf and being a jerk. Like I can see, especially a boy. I could see a ghost boy doing that kind of stuff. Like a poltergeist boy. Yeah, that I buy.
A poltergeist?
Yeah, a poltergeist. But like a, you know, or, you know, I'm not going to do that joke. But yeah, just standing in the hallway. No, I don't buy that. No dice. No, sir. I do not agree.
Well, I think...
Except when I'm scared at night, then I will believe it.
did you believe in ghosts when you were younger, like when you were a child?
Well, my mom said we had a ghost in the house, so I believe that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go into the basement. Thanks for that scar, Mom.
The ghost was in the basement?
Yeah.
And what made her think
Herman,
that?
We called the ghost Herman.
Was she just joking?
Slamming doors? I don't know.
I think she's probably joking, because we have a ghost at work called Bill. Because whenever a door closes because of the wind or whatever, we always go, oh, there's Bill. Oh,
okay.
But
do you think that that could create a ghost?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, was I supposed to say yes and?
I think that's as reasonable an idea as actually having a ghost, but okay, that's right.
But when I was a kid, I don't know if I believed in ghosts, but I liked the idea of ghosts.
Did you?
Like, I like to get ghost stories and read them when I was
in school. Did you like the idea that there was, being a ghost was an option in an afterlife? And you're like, that's not too bad.
I didn't think about it that way. I think I thought of it as a particular set of circumstances that would make you a ghost. Otherwise, everyone would be a ghost. You know, but most of the ghosts that you hear about when you're a kid were, like, haunted castle, let's say. So there's Anne Boleyn walking around with her head under her arm. You know, that would be a ghost you'd hear about. You wouldn't hear about, Fred Jones, who lived down the street and slipped on an ice cube in his kitchen and broke his neck. You didn't hear about that guy sitting in a rocking chair. Like, that's not the kind
of
stuff.
No, because Fred's not a jerk. Fred's not going to bug you.
Was Anne Boleyn a jerk?
She's walking down with her head under her arm. Yeah. Fuck off. Get lost. What are you doing? People are trying to do stuff. Do you want to see that?
Well, I don't think she did it just to bother you.
Why'd she do it then?
Because her head was cut off, and now she's a ghost, so she has to carry it. It's not in her head. It's not in her neck anymore.
She can't control where she walks?
She can't control what her head does.
Well, put your head back on your stump and hold it there. Why not? Stopping you?
That would be weird.
What's the ghost rules?
Ghost rule is if it's cut off, you have to carry it.
Ugh. Okay, then here's what you do. Get a little dress and put it around there and make a little version of you. Uh-huh. Now take a fake head, stick it on you. Now you're a couple walking down the hallway and no one's freaked out.
Yeah,
be nice about it.
That doesn't work, though.
Don't be a jerk.
How will a ghost get a fake head?
What? Like, the ghost
head? There's no ghost emporium where they can go and buy ghost heads.
Yeah, that's
so scratch
right.
That's
the most ridiculous element
that's
of the
idea.
That's
the most ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. That's the
problem. You have taken this too far.
Here's a question, by the way, Dave.
Okay.
You know your Harry Potters, right? Harry Potter.
I've heard of them.
Okay, in the movie Harry Potter.
Yeah.
There's many movies. But in the final movie Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, I think it was called.
Yeah. All right. The last one, part two?
I guess a part two.
The movie that wasn't very good?
Yeah, but here's the thing about that. Where's all the ghosts? Where those jerks go?
I think I think they're only into movie four maybe, and then they're gone.
Then they're gone. Where's John Cleese? All these guys? What happened to those?
Things got serious, or John Cleese got expensive. I don't know.
Okay.
But I think
it doesn't seem like John Cleese turns down work anymore, does it?
Well, there's
John Cleese doesn't say no to anything, does he?
No, he doesn't.
No. Of course he doesn't. He still thinks he's Q. No one's told him that he's not. He still shows up probably at the movies, and they just feed him a nice hot sandwich.
Yeah.
And then there's well, we don't need you today. It's like, all right, I'll be back tomorrow. Off he goes. And it's sad. He does a little silly walk, and people go, yeah, that's good stuff.
And then puts out his hip.
Yeah, that's right.
That is sad. Oh, you remember when he used to be able to do that high kick walk? Oh,
now he does the silly wheelchair bit.
That's right. The Ministry of Silly Wheelchairs.
It's actually not a bad bit. Anyway, go on.
I can't remember what I was talking about.
All right. What? Now, you were looking something up on the computer. What was that?
Oh, it's something for later.
Okay, but you found the thing that you're looking for? You're not going to be scanning that while we're talking? Because it's just a little bit disconcerting that I'm talking to your ear.
What? Why?
And I'm faking that you're paying attention to me.
I was paying attention to you.
Because remember, that is your New Year's resolution, to actually pay damn attention. And the first thing you do is you start surfing the net, looking up your clout score.
Did you say something? What is a clout score? Oh, yeah, we talked about that last week.
We did talk about that last week. So that one's done.
That's old news.
That's right.
Keep going.
Okay.
Sorry.
I feel like you're just making me vamp.
I am.
All right, that's fine. Okay, did I believe in ghosts as a kid? Yes. Do I believe in ghosts now? No. Do I have to, as we talked about last week, try to talk to my niece about ghosts in a way that doesn't reveal that I don't believe in ghosts now but is respectful to her grandmother? Yes.
Well, I don't see that as a big issue myself.
It is at Christmas dinners when it's brought up at the table and you got to, come up with an answer fast and it's not, no. It's ridiculous.
Well, no, I like the answer that you gave, because the answer you gave is true.
Yeah, speaking, by the way, of we ended last week's show with Dave being pro-truth and me being not always pro-truth.
You're against it.
And but
you're
truth. I have been thinking a lot about that this week, and a circumstance came up, and I went I'm going to put this into effect, and I'm going to try it out.
Okay.
I took something from the show, and I put it into my real life, and here's what happened. I've been collecting action figures for many, many years.
Okay.
Okay. And so I had this big bag of them that I was like when I go.
How big was the big bag? Like a garbage bag or a shopping bag? Or...
Like a large sized shopping bag that you get from a store.
Okay.
Okay. So
what store? Like a Gap?
IKEA bag.
Oh, an IKEA bag.
Let's go an IKEA
store. So was an IKEA like one of those big giant tote bags?
Not super bag. Okay. It's big enough.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, when I visit my mother at holidays and birthdays and whatever, my niece and nephew were there, and we go up to this little room.
Oh, that's I have a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, a playroom that we have, and there's like Lego and some toys and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I went like, oh, you know what? As much as I like having these on my shelf, toys should be played with. I'm gonna bring them to my mom's, and that way we can play with them. You know, when we get together and play at those special occasions. This is this bag, and it's not. I'm saying it's not a huge bag. It's not taking up a lot of space. Yeah. Anywho,
hi everybody, welcome back. We had some sort of weird situation there where we couldn't actually.
Are we back?
Yep, we're back.
Oh, okay,
we're back.
Sorry. Hello there.
Where things went awry, so I'm not too sure what happened there exactly.
You know what I'm going to blame? Ghosts.
Can you hear me all right in your...
I can hear you, yeah.
Yeah, I can't hear a darn thing. Oh, I know why, because I'm not plugged into my...
There you go, try
that's,
it.
That's totally...
We did a lot of ghost bashing just for the first half of the show. And then all of a sudden we started having technical glitches for the first time ever, which I think proves ghosts are real.
Ghosts are, in fact, real. So...
That or it was somehow my mother stopping me from talking about her. Which is what we were doing. We were talking about a little thing that happened.
Yeah. So start the story again. Just explain
and try to sound natural.
We'll try and sound natural and unaffected.
Yeah. You know how you're pouring your heart out like just a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
One more time.
One more time, please.
That's right.
And I want the tears this time again.
Okay.
Please.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Well, anyway, on our last show, you were talking about truth and the importance of truth and how honesty is the best policy. 99.99% of the time, which I think you know is a false math statistic, which seems odd that it was about truth and the math was all made up.
Okay,
fair enough. But no, what I was saying was I had a
well, I just want to clarify that the situation would be in a situation where truth, where you know, where you have the chance when you are asked, we shouldn't say, when you're in a situation where
this is tricky because you've actually got to be truthful in your statement.
Truthful in my statement. Well, just be clear. Because what I was thinking about was this incident on Orange is the New Black, which I don't think you've watched very much of.
Watch the first, watch the last, yes.
You watched the first and the last?
Yeah.
But that's cheating.
No, it's not. I didn't want to see, like, I wanted to see what happens at the end, because if what I wanted to happen at the end doesn't happen, I don't want to watch the series, because it's just too depressing.
So did you
want to
watch the series, or was it?
Nah, too depressing. Though I do know that the person who wrote it, it's a true story.
Partly true. If you read the memoir, which Lisa has, there's obviously a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? A lot of something taken, you know, because it's a TV show. So, but in the show, okay, well, I'm just going to spoil it then. This is a spoiler. So if you don't want to hear the spoiler, just cut ahead 30 seconds. In the show, she asked her boyfriend to look and see if this former girlfriend who she was a drug mule for ratted her out during her trial.
Right.
And to reduce her sentence or whatever. So the answer was, yes, she did. But this boyfriend, listening to her talk, was afraid that this was going to create more problems for her. If he told her the truth, then she was going to be, it was going to become like a vendetta, or she's going to get too carried away or whatever. So he lied. He said she didn't. Well, what he did when he did that was he created a completely false world for her. Before, she was mad at this girl, thinking that, you know, treated her badly, was mad at her, snubbed her at every turn, you know, and then her boyfriend says to her, oh, you know, by the way, she didn't rat you out. Well, then how does this girl feel then?
Right. But
she feels like, oh my God, I was a total bitch to this girl, and she actually kept my name, you know, didn't rat me out.
Okay.
And now I'm the jerk. I'm being the jerk in this relationship.
Okay.
So
now here's the flip I could see from that guy's point of view, until you tell me if I'm getting the show wrong here.
Okay.
Is like, if he tells her that she's in prison, she's going to try and take some kind of revenge.
Well, that's what he is afraid of.
Which he's right, exactly. Because it's a stabby, stabby world in there.
But
people do have blades. Yeah. People do have shivs.
But okay, let's be just remembering her character. She is like a New York socialite,
right?
You know, sort of debutante,
right.
Upper, you know, West Side.
Who
sort
is
of
now
girl.
Making friends with? She's had to affiliate with a certain gang.
Well, no, because in the show, the idea is that she does not do that. She is trying to maintain be above that.
Does her boyfriend in this scenario know that she's not the kind of person who would seek revenge?
Well, I think when he hears her talking, he is frightened for her.
Right.
But that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't.
It does.
It doesn't.
Absolutely.
Because
he's trying to save her life.
No, no.
Yes.
He's In a way, but his choice was wrong.
Nope.
Because he creates a totally wrong situation.
It turns out badly, but here's the thing. Like, pretend you're, say you're in a bar.
So you're saying no matter what he did, it was, we'd be bad.
No. Bad. Here's the thing. Like, picture this. There's a person in a bar.
Yeah.
And this person has a knife. Okay. And the person is going, hey, did that guy say I was a jerk? Doesn't,
but yeah, but, okay, you're, but creating, you're creating a situation that isn't, no, isn't I'm not, in the situation.
Because he, to him, in this situation,
yeah.
If he says, yes, she ratted you out.
Yeah.
She's now in a confined space with this woman for a year.
Wait a second. She already thought that.
Right.
All he's doing would be confirming
what
she felt.
If he confirms this.
Yeah.
Now, this is the confirmation. From what you're saying to me, he thinks that she is going to seek some sort of revenge.
Yeah.
And that,
this is way more than 30 seconds. I'm sorry if you skipped ahead 30 seconds and we're still talking about this spoiler.
All right. And he thinks that she's going to seek out some sort of revenge. Mm-hmm. If she seeks out revenge, he's going A, B, C. Mm-hmm. She ain't getting out of jail. His motivation is, I want my fiance out of jail.
Yeah.
I want her safe.
Mm-hmm.
And she is now not in her right mind
because
she's incarcerated and she's going
true.
Cuckoo bananas.
Yes.
So now, is it okay to lie to someone who's crazy? That's why I'm bringing up the drunk thing. Someone who is not in their right state of mind, who is going to then take that to violence or to a bad situation. You know, if someone's going, did that guy say something to me?
Yeah.
And if you say to him, yeah, he did, I'm going to go tell that fucker what's what. And now this, you know, there's going to be teeth on the floor and the cops are going to be called. Does it make more sense to go like, no, he didn't say nothing? Does that make more sense? Or does it make sense, you know, listen, let's tell the truth. That guy did say you're a jerk. Well, I'm going to go get some fighting done now.
Well, I guess what you're saying to me then is it's a no-win situation. If he tells the truth, it's fucked. And if he lies, it's fucked.
Right. He's in what we call life,
which is
not a black and white.
So what's better in that situation? And let's take it out of this kind of random persons you don't know in a bar relating to other people they don't know.
Are we still doing talking about the show?
In this situation, everyone knows each other. It's not a random drunken meeting in a bar between a bunch of strangers.
But it's a woman.
There's an ex-girlfriend.
Right.
Ex-girlfriend.
Right.
Boyfriend triangle.
Right. Now, so far in this life, to this boyfriend, mm-hmm. if I'm getting the show correct, he has known her in one capacity, and he knows her in a certain way.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Then this new world has opened up, and he's like, I don't even know this gal anymore because she was a drug mule.
Yeah.
She spent some time with this woman. She's done all this stuff.
Yeah.
What the fuck? This is brand new to me. So he's now on.
He's dealing with it. He has to deal with it.
He's stepped back a couple of feet. He's on his heel.
Sure.
He doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And who is this woman? I don't know who this woman is.
Yeah.
So she asks him for some information. And the way that she asks him for the information is, I want to know if this fucker over here really screwed me over and she's the reason that I'm in this jail right now, which is the worst thing in the world to me.
Yeah.
Now, to him, he's processing this and he's got to make a choice. Yeah. And his choice is either go, yeah, she did. Mm-hmm. And then like, well, I'm going to let those two cats in the bag fight it out. And hopefully the cat that I love is going to come out alive.
Sure.
Or he will say, no, it's a lie to defuse the situation. He hopes, you know, throw some cold water on both the cats. They run in opposite directions. And like, hopefully by the end of whatever, 6 months or whenever, when she's out of jail, you know, maybe he can tell her then when it doesn't matter and it's okay. And she won't be in danger. Is that the scenario that you're laying out?
But that's what he hopes, obviously.
That is what he hopes. And you're saying he did the wrong thing.
Yes.
He should have
told her the truth.
Knowing that she wants to
get revenge. No,
she doesn't want revenge.
No.
So she's going to, what would he think that she's going to do with this information?
Well, for her, I mean, it's hard to say, right? She's in the middle of a very
emotional
situation.
This struck you so deeply that you went, oh, this is the big flaw.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where you brought it up on last week's show.
Yeah,
so I'm just trying to...
Well, as soon as it happened, I knew right away that it was a disastrous choice that he made.
But you also know that because it's a show that wants drama. And so any big decision is going to lead you down the most chaotic path.
But I didn't know what the next stage was. I just knew as soon as he said that to her, I just said to Lisa, well, this is a disaster because now she's operating under the wrong assumptions about, you know, everything that's happened.
Right.
So all her emotions are wrong now. Like what she's feeling, the guilt that she feels for how she's treated this girl or this woman through this early part of the series. You know, it's all going to weigh on her and it's going to change the decisions that she's making,
mm-hmm.
you know, which it does. And I mean, maybe your point is that another way, it's a no-win situation. It's hopeless. If I tell her what the case is...
It's not hopeless, but there's varying degrees of danger.
If
so
I
I'm
tell
take
her
the lesser.
Right now where she seems to be, you know, and when she's talking to him, you know, he senses this feeling of, you know, wow, she's really getting kind of caught up in this whole world of prison. And you know, maybe it's better that I tell her a lie and so that she can withdraw and kind of cool off.
Yep.
And that's what he's hoping for. Yep. Rather than if I tell her the truth and she's, you know, it's going to be more mad and it's going to become even more of a psychodrama.
Right.
And that's possible. For sure, that's a possible outcome of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to me, in that situation, you know, speaking for her, I would rather know the truth.
Okay, let me give you another scenario on this. Because this scenario seems to be, did this person do something to hurt me? Tell me yes or no. That's the question. Okay, now let's say he has information, she doesn't ask.
Yeah.
Let's say he just knows
yeah.
that she ratted him out.
Okay.
Okay, her out. Okay.
Okay.
So if she doesn't ask, like
yeah.
tell me, and he knows some information, should he just tell her that information when you get the new information? Without her asking, should he approach her and go like, I've got this, like when we're talking about degrees of truth, there's the truth of like, answer me yes or no,
yeah.
or the whole truth, which is, I've got this extra information that will affect you
so
in some way.
You're saying that, so this has become the sin of omission, the idea of omitting to tell the truth rather than,
should
so he's
he,
not lying,
right.
but he's not telling the truth.
Now, where this leads...
Or I should say, he's just not saying the truth.
This is one of the things that mm-hmm. leads almost into gossip, which is
okay,
like
yeah.
two friends.
Yeah.
One friend knows that another person is bad-mouthing your friend or has done something to hurt your friend.
Yeah, no, I think that...
Do you tell your friend?
No.
No, you don't.
No.
But if the friend asks you, is that person saying bad shit about me, do you tell them?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
So you do not offer information, but once information is asked of you, then you reveal it.
Yeah.
But you will keep it. Why? Why is one truth then more important than the other truth? Like,
well,
why is the truth of, you know, this person's calling you, you know, a so-and-so around town.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that not something your friend should know? That is a truth.
Yeah.
Why should they not know that unless they specifically
well,
ask you?
I think you're right. I think to tell your friend, let's say to tell him about it.
Yeah.
You would be gossiping. You would be telling something about someone else that
affects, you know, them.
That affects them. Yeah.
If something affects your friend,
mm-hmm.
should you tell your friend? Because gossip is bad,
gossip
but the
is
truth
bad.
Is good. Where is the line?
Where is the line? Exactly.
I put this to you, David.
Yeah.
Begin.
Well, in that case, I think you would be like...
Here's the answer,
okay,
everybody.
So would you have heard this person bad-mouthing the person, or you just heard that they were bad-mouthing the person?
Well, this is your...
Did they bad-mouth your friend to you?
Let's go with this. It's any kind of contained environment, say an office, a school,
okay.
or that kind of thing.
Okay.
So you know this person in the work environment, say you're in, Dave.
Yeah.
Is going like, you know, you've got a friend, let's say their name is Steve. We're going to go with
mm-hmm.
Steve here.
Sure.
And they're going, you know, like...
Good old Steve.
That Steve fucking creeps me out.
Yeah.
That Steve is one creepy motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that Steve guy, you know, today, and he's just like, oh man, he just skeezes me out. This is what someone is saying.
Yeah.
You're friends with Steve.
Yeah.
Now, if Steve approaches you and goes, are they saying that I'm creepy? You, of course, go, yes, they are, because you're going to tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If Steve does not ask you this, and you know this is going on, do you provide that information to Steve, or do you just let that play out by itself? Because Steve's reputation
wow.
is now
that is
getting...
That's a difficult question.
Steve is now getting knocked down a couple of pegs in the office.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do?
That's a difficult question.
This is like in school when we used to have those thinkabouts.
Yeah, that's
and then
right.
the spinning question mark comes up.
It's tricky in that situation. I mean, like I said, 99.999% of the time, I think it's best to tell the truth.
That's the direct truth. But now, do you tell the whole truth? Is the whole truth a good 99.99% of the time as well?
I
do you want to
say,
know all the information?
I would say no.
I would agree with you.
I would
you
say
that
there's
no.
a lot of hurtful things that circulate in your world that you don't want to know about.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to know what everybody thinks of you.
Right.
Like,
now, because
exactly what they think about
because
you.
Because they're hurtful, it's
yeah.
it's
cruel. Or even if they're complimentary, you don't need to know everything about yourself.
Okay. But if you ask it, then you should be told it.
I think so.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
The difference is a direct question is what lets
yeah.
the floodgates of
Let's
truth
Let's say
come
Steve
through.
Is worried about the way people are treating him in the office.
Right.
And doesn't understand why people who are new to
Steve
the office.
Steve probably knows a bit.
He senses it, right?
He senses it.
He comes to you as a friend and says, listen, I don't understand why people are, like a lot of new people are, like they don't want to go out after work with me. And I don't
yeah.
understand, like what's going on? What do you say to him? Do you just kind of go, well, I haven't heard anything, and just leave him hanging there?
Right.
Or do you say, well, to be honest with you, there's some people in the office saying bad things.
Right.
You don't have to say their names. Right?
What if he asks you their names?
I guess
that, this is the problem with truth. Like I'm following up with it. Because
there's no problem with truth.
Leads to truth.
There's no problem with truth. The problem is how. There's no problem with truth, but there's a problem with. Yeah, it's hard to say, isn't it? Because truth can be hurtful. This is hurtful as lies.
Yeah, when you say, like, in the scenarios that you're laying out, for the most part, with truth, it seems to end. It's like, yeah. hey, Dave, black or white? White. Okay, that sounds great. I have no follow-up questions. Yeah. I'll be seeing you. Good day, sir.
Yeah. That's how I think.
That is how you think. Unfortunately, there are now 20 more questions.
I know.
This is that...
It makes for a very confusing world that I live in.
That's right. The river then splits in twain. And there we go. Why we brought this up, or why I was bringing this up before in the segment that got cut off, because Dave couldn't handle the truth,
man. I just hit
the delete.
The computer can handle the truth.
I ended up this week. My mother ended up throwing out some toys that I had at her place that I had.
Well, yeah, just talk about what.
Yeah,
so what
the, exactly and the was. And the reason I had those toys was Christmases and birthdays and kind of thing. We go over to my mother's place, and my niece and my nephew and I get together, and we go upstairs and we play usually with like Legos or some games we have up there. There's a lot of iPad games we play.
Sure.
So. I have, you know, over the years collected a lot of action figures, and I'm not like a collector. I think like toys should be played with above all else.
Yeah.
So I brought a big bag of them there to play with them when we go over. And my mother and sister, who is the mother of the kids, decided, the kids don't like them. Yeah. So let's get rid of them.
Sure.
And I was asking her.
So this you learned how thoughtlessly cruel family is.
Oh, I understand how thoughtlessly.
Because you think that you would have learned it by
now. Not even cruel. Moms are going to throw shit out. That's a thing mom does. I get it.
I used to have to go to the garbage quite often and check to find things like my books would be in there or CD covers that I had left like in the
bathroom.
One
of your brothers.
And if I was reading it and I took it in the bathroom and read it and just left it on the ledge in the bathroom, my mom would find it there, throw it away.
Right. So what's happening this
week?
Not
like give me a day's respite. Like, if he doesn't move this by today... I'll throw it out tomorrow.
Yeah, and it was thrown out with an angry sigh. There was an angry huff.
And it wasn't thrown in the bathroom garbage. It was thrown outside into the household, kitchen garbage.
Which is
outside.
Why your raccoons had all the great stuff. A raccoon that had a room that looked exactly like yours, but like a year earlier.
That's right.
So
they had quite a Philip K. Dick collection.
So this week, my mom's calling me up and she's going, would you like some of your grandfather's books? I'm cleaning out the garage. And I'm like, okay. And I heard from my sister that the kids didn't like the action figures.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You know, I'm not going to force the issue. We'll have them over at our place. Maybe they'll want to play with them here. So I say to my mom, why don't you bring those along as well? And I'll take those. And she's, I gave those away. And it was given those away as in like, what are you going to do? I had to give them away because the kids didn't like them. And that really hurt my feelings. It hurt my feelings in a way of like, one, they were valuable. There was like, hundreds of dollars worth of action figures in there, which it's not about the value. Like,
it is partly about that.
But I'm not probably going to resell at any point. It's just like...
But you have invested money that you've earned through the years
figures. They should be played with above collecting. They had sentimental value because they're all things I cared about, which is why I bought them.
Sure.
And also the idea that, I want to play with the kids with these things. They're something I like and hopefully, we watch the Avengers. Maybe then we play a little Avengers or something. So throwing them out. It hurt my feelings, and I was thinking about what you said about the truth, and I thought, I'm going to tell my mom how I feel about this, because this is really, really weighing on me.
Did she ask how you felt about it?
No. Okay. No, of course not. So, so I told her, first of all, the approximate value of them, because I knew that would get her attention, because sometimes you got to just say, throw a money thing like, now I've woken you up with that. And then I said the thing about, I just wanted to play with them with these and these meant a lot to me. And that really hurts my feelings, that they were thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent that out and
Did it feel angry? Did it feel like an angry email?
It's not anger. It's wanting to let her know that hurt.
Yeah.
It's like that hurt and I want to let you, not as in, not screw you for doing that.
Yeah.
It's just like, this isn't a casual, what just was thrown away. That's the way thing is, like the wind took it. It's like, no, this happened and that hurt me. And I want you to know that it hurt me because I'm hurting right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would not say anger is the thing. I was probably angry a little later. about it. Like, yeah. Anger did enter into it later, but not anger towards.
Yeah.
Because I don't normally feel that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I wrote that, and I from her response, she went to like a Value Village to see if they were there. They weren't. And I could tell that it really hurt her feelings.
Okay.
For me to have said this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're supposed to meet tomorrow, and it's been a couple of days, and she finally got back to me today, but it's been a couple of days of the old kind of
silent treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know it's going to be kind of awkward tomorrow too with that kind of thing.
Okay. Well,
and there's a bit of me that goes like, I knew that would hurt her,
mm-hmm.
and I could have taken the punch on that one, but I decided to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Knowing that I don't think she's got... Knowing what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we were saying, like, previously.
Don't say that.
What?
We haven't said that previously.
We did say that previously. No. I'm telling the truth,
I've never
buddy.
Heard you say this before.
Hey, that's the truth siren. Every time you tell a lie, that siren goes off.
Everybody, when Dave lies, take a drink.
Truth cops. Here they're going to come. Yeah. But I knew how it was going to play out.
Yeah.
And I made the choice to actually do it. And yeah, it kind of hurts, you know, and it's... You know, where I was going before you went, hey, I forgot to plug in the mics, was it was a similar thing.
Can we have a dick siren?
Yeah, that's our new podcast, Dicking Around, which we're going to be doing. Ha! I got the three-er on that.
Well, you didn't. I thought you were really going to tie it around because it was a bag of wooden duck decoys that got thrown away.
Ah, very good.
That would have really tied it together.
But it's like there was a Christmas dinner we were having. I don't know if I brought this up on the show before.
That's our new podcast, Decoying Around.
That's right. I'm trying to bare my soul, you son of a bitch. Anyway.
Can I be honest for a second?
And we're there, and she's there with her previous boyfriend. He wasn't the previous boyfriend at the time. He was the current boyfriend at the time.
Boyfriend.
That'd be weird having previous boyfriends at Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
And he brought his family, too.
Okay.
And it's awkward. And
that's presumptuous.
He's doing certain racist things, and she's going, oh.
Is he wearing blackface?
Oh, Stanley. And no, that's David M. And at one point, he's doing a joke about hitting someone with an oatmeal spoon. And it's not even a joke. It's like, you know, well, I just a couple
do.
Of whacks with an oatmeal spoon, and that's what you do.
Yeah.
And I was saying, you know, my wife is gluten intolerant. Mentioning oatmeal is offensive. Please don't do that no, it wasn't that. So she's going like, oh, Stanley. And then she goes, you know, something we're really proud of is, you know, Keith and I was my dad, you know, never use corporal punishment on the kids,
mm-hmm.
which is horse shit. Absolute horse shit.
They actually use major punishment on the kids.
Yeah.
There's a higher rank.
I understand what you're saying. Dave? You're
Am
making
I lying
up.
Again?
You're lying, lying again. You're just making making up something.
Maybe,
so.
Maybe you're lying.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, I made up the thing about the oatmeal.
Everybody, take a drink when Ian lies.
So basically, we're having a lovely Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, and a big bunch of horse shit has just landed on my turkey.
So you had to choke.
And
it
I
down?
Don't. Yeah, and it's one of those where like, okay, do I at this point go to my mom? What? You know, because as I used to have a stand-up bit about it where I just went, at that point I realized, oh, that wasn't punishment. I was in a fight. I was in a fight that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Oh, that was my problem as a child. You know, but the other side thing I could sort of see her going with was, oh, no, they didn't hit me for punishment.
Yeah.
I only got hit when my dad was angry. It wasn't for punishment.
Yeah.
It was just he was having a he was just hitting us.
He's mad.
As a guy
hitting
his kids, mm-hmm. not because and he's not spanking us.
Yeah.
He's whacking us. He's smacking us.
I think it's called expressing yourself.
Is it?
Yeah.
There you go. So
he's letting it all hang out.
In the 70s. Yeah,
sure.
that's how you expressed yourself.
It's gestalt therapy.
So it's one of those where it's like, okay, now where does truth enter into it now? We're all going to sit here, me and my other sister, who definitely knows it. And I don't know, like my other sister's younger, and I think she missed out on
that. Well, I think that's the perfect
opportunity. Now's the time, Christmas dinner, time to go like, oh, by the way, now that we're bringing that up.
That's right.
Or do I at a later date go, you know, that bothered me that you said that, because I know how that will all play out.
Yeah.
It will play out with tears,
mm-hmm.
shutting down,
maybe
storming off,
that's
silence. And nothing else. The end. And then we will not bring it up the next time we see each other.
Yeah.
So do I create that lovely scenario or do I let this fucker slide,
mm-hmm.
and just like basically eat it?
Well, it's
over to you, Dave.
Well, I mean,
as a parent
at the Christmas dinner, I think that's a perfect time to be a mealy-mouthed hypocrite. But I think, okay, it depends. Like for me, and this is something I said earlier and I'm just going to repeat it because wasn't recorded because Ian broke the microphone. But
with too much truth, man.
With too much truth, man. Our truthiness. But, you know, when I went through therapy, a lot of it, for whatever reason, it did center my mom. And when I told my mom I was going through therapy, she got really self, like, full of, like, self-defensive, like, or defensive, not self-defensive. She just started doing karate on me.
That's right. She felt the same way when you just...
self-defense lessons.
She felt the same way when you went to the cancer doctor. It's just like, oh, so this is on me, huh? I gave you genetically cancer.
She did.
Now I'm going to look like a bad mom because you want to get the chemotherapy and make me look like a jerk.
She did. There was a part of that to it. And I mean, you know, it's not obviously on this the most, but a lot of it was about deflecting. So even though she smoked for my whole life and I sat at a table while she smoked, when I got cancer, it was related to the fact that I had long hair, that I ate hot dogs, and that I wore tight jeans. Those are the three main factors.
The carny lifestyle will lead to that, yes.
Those three things were the main factors in my cancer. Not her smoking.
Right.
And not the true reality, which is that I, when I was a fetus in the womb, a little bit of matter, you know, a little bit of perhaps another baby that wasn't formed or whatever, I grew over and it became part of me. Yeah. And that little bit of other flesh inside of me at some point, you know, became this sort of cancerous place thing that developed. Whatever. So, you know, that was her, but, you know, that was her, yeah. She was very defensive about that. And she's also very defensive when I, because she obviously lives in a world of guilt. You know, she feels guilty about my middle brother for the fact that he is the way he is. She feels guilty for my younger brother the way he is. And she feels guilty for me. But she doesn't feel so guilty that everyone else's achievements aren't rubbed in our faces or things that we do are belittled to us. Or, you know, so when I started going through therapy, a big part of my therapy was learning to say or think, fuck you, to my mom. You know, just for the things that she says. Mm-hmm. Like when I say to her, I'm doing a podcast, even now, you know, almost 2 years into it, her first question is, what is that?
Exactly.
And her second question
is for anyone of that age is like, what are you doing? I'm doing a garbage. What's that? Oh, it's on the.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then her next question
is. It's like a radio show. I semi understand.
Her next question is, how much do you get paid for that? You know, that's. So to her, that's her thing. And so she's not saying that. She's not going, oh, that's great. I'm glad you're doing that. If you don't understand something, the first thing you should say to someone is, oh, great, I'm glad you're doing that. Not, how much do you get paid for
also,
that?
Also, it's also like, how are you saying it? If you're saying, hey, I'm doing a podcast. Like, you're not coming out, ugh, just had to do a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, if it's that, I can understand why she's not like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's, you know, probably you were saying it in a positive way, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So then you're happy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if, like, if someone comes up to me and says, like, I'm doing a, you know, and it's something made up that I have no idea. Well, that's great then. Good for you that you're doing this thing that I don't understand.
Yeah. That's what your reaction should be, not the first thought you should be is, oh, that, or gee, you're not making any money, or your
is
little
show. Is she worried
show,
that you're in the gutter?
The little like, show that you know, David it's does. Like, she's worried that's where I'll end up, you know, because my whole childhood was about not being an artist.
By this point.
Because that's how you starve to death.
Right. But by this point, so, you've got a family. You've raised two daughters. One's going to college.
Yeah.
You know, you got a house. You've gone through a couple of pets. You're fine, right? I think you're established.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
Sort of. But yeah.
Yeah. I think you're all right.
I mean, I'm established in the modern sense of established. You know, the bank owns my house, and
right, but you're established
the company
in,
owns the,
in
rest.
The mom but, sense, yeah, like of her. Yeah. If someone from her generation got the things that you did, they would be a success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a win. So that's not even mom confusion. Clearly, you're on the right track. You're doing good.
Sure.
Okay, but please continue.
But so I just so in your scenario, and I don't think that you should be saying "fuck you" to your mom, but in a way, when you are telling her the truth, when telling her how you feel. It's not your fault how she reacts to it. You know what I'm saying?
But if I know, if I know how she'll react to it. Now, this is where we
get. And you still do it.
Well, here's the thing. This is where whole truth comes into it. Now, I got a whole big bag of childhood stuff I can bring up.
Sure.
I'm not gonna. Because why the fuck would you? That's mean.
Yeah.
So you got to pick and you got to choose what you do and what you do and like which ones are rising to the surface. So like, I know the reaction to all of this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she's of a generation that was like this. And like, that's an excuse, obviously. But it's also true, you know, and she's deep into this rut of that's how people of her era were, and you were subservient to the man and such and da da da. And yeah, when now I, a grown man, am like now saying my problems to her, it gets into a weird area as well. It's like, what do I want to achieve out of this besides venting? What would be, I could go to the woods and yell it at a tree as well and get it out of my system that way.
Can I talk about making my...
Can I just talk about this wood tree yelling?
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
I just hate trees so much. So what? I just like going and yelling. I just emotionally clear cut them with my words. Okay, no, but please go ahead.
Because I just want to talk about this. Is okay. This is a situation where I was honest, and maybe you'll think this was cruel of me to be honest in this way. Last night, Melissa's phone was not working. Her iPhone battery was, I don't know, was not working. It wasn't charging properly. I don't know if this is a common problem with iPhones and their own one, but hers was hers had a problem.
It is.
Okay. Great. That's good to know. Fortunately, it's still within a year, so I'm going to be calling Apple and complaining. But she was in a terrible mood because of this. So she was mad at Phyllis. She was mad at me. She's being very catty, or if you prefer, biatchy to us. And so I called her on it. I said, I don't appreciate how you're talking to us. You're mad because your phone is not working and you're taking it out on us. You know, and she got tears in her eyes because she was mad. And so that made her more frustrated that I was calling her on her bullshit. Is that wrong to do that at that moment? Should I just be quiet and just sit and take it, or?
Well, what's
and I wasn't yelling at her.
No,
I was
no,
just
but
talking
what's the follow up to that? What do you want to achieve with that?
I want her to understand that she's reacting from an emotional place.
Right.
And she's just letting her emotions take control of her.
Right.
And she's not being reasonable.
So what's the next stage to that? Is like, so just stop it?
Yeah.
Like,
so then I said to her, what I want you to do is to realize why you're angry.
Okay.
And to calm down and to not be angry at people who have nothing to do with the problem that you're having.
Okay.
The problem is with your phone. It's not with your sister. And it's not with me. We are just victims of your anger right now.
Right.
So, and this is what I said to her. I mean, she got tears in her eyes because I think, because it's frustrating to
be
told.
It was also probably not totally about the phone. I mean, things are not totally about what they are.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I did ask her. I said,
when your mom's crying in the car, it's not because of the car. You know, it's,
I did ask her. She didn't want to tell me.
Okay,
so
that's the that's the follow-up to it. Yeah. It's like, you can't just go, I think, well, you can, but my opinion is you shouldn't. If you see someone, you know, that you're close to enough that you would talk to, like, just like, stop feeling that way. You're feeling that way, and it's incorrect that you feel that way.
Well,
what
no,
you're
it's
feeling
not,
is wrong.
It's not that it's wrong to feel that way, but it's wrong to lash out at people
that's
because
right.
you're feeling that
absolutely.
way.
Absolutely. I don't want to be yelled at, and you've completely got the right to do that.
Yeah.
I think the follow-up on that, if they're open to it, is some sort of comfort towards, you know,
oh, well,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you feel that way. That's a drag that your phone's broken or whatever problem
sure.
is there.
Oh, yeah. Then we sat and we tried to take care of it. We
Boom.
Phoned,
That's
we phoned
the
Apple Canada.
That is the second part
they
to
were
that.
Closed, but we tried to solve the problem.
I think too many people just do the first part and go, that's enough, which is like, if you're in a relationship or something, you're like, well, let me tell you the truth, and I guess that's done now. No follow-up, you know,
no,
and it's like...
She had lent me her iPod, so I returned it to her so she could put her audiobooks on it and stuff, so she had something to listen to at work.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, we handled the situation, but, you know, I just, in that moment, I think you can either close your eyes, or I could just get really mad and yell at her because I'm upset that I'm being yelled at.
That's right.
But that's not a proper answer. In
nope.
a way, that's being dishonest.
That's right.
Because you're just letting your own emotions ride over
and
you.
And then your wife has
you.
To talk to you and go like, you know what you're doing. That's right.
I'm not ready for that kind of honesty. I said 99.999, and this is definitely the 0.0001.
That's right. 0.001 is towards me, man.
That's right.
Yeah, it's
don't
the,
you understand?
It's the Daffy Duck thing. It's like, you know, I can't, you know, I'm not like other people. Pain hurts me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad you're thinking about it. I don't know if I'm glad that you acted on it in that way, in a way that, because when I was thinking about it, like when we were talking about the Orange is the New Black, I was thinking about it in the sense of when someone asks you a question, how do you feel about this? Then you should be honest. Or you should be honest in a situation where, let's say that you spent $2,000 on something and, you know, and your wife says, and then you don't want to tell your wife.
My wife's in the room.
Your wife's in the room.
She's right behind me.
Remember, Ian, when you spent that $2,000 on that expensive hooker?
Shut up. What? What the hell could she have done? Painted my house? Wait, do I have a house in this scenario?
I said she was expensive. I didn't say it was sensible.
I know. It also was a prostitute from an old joke, apparently. I'll do anything you want for $50. Paint my house. Hey! What are you here for? Super sex. I'll take the soup. Good night.
I'm here all week. If you want to listen to the show over and over again for a week, then you're here all week.
Yep.
Eat the veal. Don't eat the veal.
Eat the veal.
So cruel.
What a weird thing to say. Eat the veal. Don't try the veal. Eat the veal. That's weird.
It's just an insult. It's a modern... All the kids are saying that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not a hipster.
Yeah, just drive by. Hey, eat the veal! What did you just say? But sorry, you think that I... All right, what would have been the better scenario then?
No, I have no problem with what you did, because I actually think it's good that you told
me. But you're saying that you thought I might have been wrong in doing it.
Well, no, I just think that...
Don't agree
what
with
I was what I was saying was in a
tell
situation...
Tell the truth or the siren will go by.
When I was talking, but I was thinking in that situation where the truth is asked for...
Yes.
...that it's better to tell the truth than to be a liar. Because in that situation, you can't... If you can't win either way, I'd rather be honest and can't win than be a liar and further my... You know, like... And like I was saying, like... like, I just think in situations where we're scared, you know, like I was using the example of spending $2,000 that I shouldn't have. And now I don't want to tell my wife because I'm scared she'll get mad at me. So now
we should also go, where'd that $2,000 go? Unless you're freaking rich and $2,000 can vanish from the old account and no one can follow up.
Well, that's the thing. So, yeah, then you...
It will lead to more lies.
You put it on your credit card. So you use your credit card to pay for it.
You'll still probably notice later the $2,000.
But it's your credit card, right?
I don't know. You have separate credit cards from your wife?
Yeah, separate credit cards,
Oh, there you go. That's interesting.
So, okay. So then... So, yeah. So now you're hiding it from her, right? So this becomes this sort of escalating lie. And it's kind of funny, actually. I'm just reading Anthony Trollope, everybody. I'm still reading Anthony Trollope.
Okay.
And in the story...
We've moved from our Jane Austen to our Trollope period, by the way. If you're looking like, when does season one end and season two begin? That's basically where we start talking Trollope.
And so, but in this story, the character signs a bill for another character for $400, £400, I guess. And even though he knows he shouldn't, he signs this a promise bill, basically. So this guy can take this note and get $400 against the name of this character.
Right.
He does it just because he feels the pressure of, you know, the moment, the friendship, the status, the what he wants, you know, all his ambition leads him to sign this note, and he knows he shouldn't. So now he's sunk. He's signed this note. And in those days, signing a promissory note for money was a terrible thing to do, because what it became was this note that was sold from person to person.
Yeah.
And it became a bigger and bigger amount of money that you owed, and you had no control over it. It wasn't with one bank where you just paid a monthly amount and slowly paid it off, or with a credit card or whatever. It was, you know, this floating amount that was out there amongst money lenders.
Terrible.
And became this thing. He doesn't want to tell his wife about it, you know, so he's lying to her. And it just, so when I was reading this, I was thinking, oh, that's interesting. There's a situation where if he'd come out right away and told the truth, this situation that I can see him getting himself into would be a lot better.
Well, it seems then
that fear, understandable fear, stopped him from being honest.
No, I'll just, I want to wrap this up pretty soon, because again, my lovely wife has come into the room, and truthfully, I want to spend some time with her and possibly you, and we have a meal.
Yeah, and I think with the combination of our talking and then this part, I think we've actually created a pretty long show.
I'm going to say something that, fear is a bit of a trigger word for me, in that when I was doing, and you still got to get to your computer thing, fear is a bit of a trigger word for me, just because when I was taking acting classes, specifically improv classes, something the teachers would always do, and I'm not even exaggerating. You know, I am exaggerating to a degree.
Punch you in the face?
No, but they would say, like, when you make a choice that they disagreed with, you're doing it out of fear. So if you were, if you were like playing a broad character,
that you disagreed with?
No, a choice that the teacher disagreed with. It's like, oh, you just told a joke in the scene. Well, you're doing this out of fear. Mm. You're afraid of being real on stage, and so you've done this out of fear.
Okay.
You've played this kind of character, and you're doing that because you don't want to take a risk playing this kind of character. Okay. You're doing it out of fear.
Okay.
And so that's just something that they would throw on you.
Yeah.
And quite often, that would be wrong. The reason that you would be doing that were you know, a wide range of reasons. Like, you just found that delightful, or you found this, or whatever. But they would oversimplify the justification by
going with fear. It is an oversimplification, but then I do think it's true that a lot of people develop a sense of humor out of a sense of fear.
Oh, and could be many different things, though.
Yeah,
and that could also then be, and then also delight, and then also, you know, other emotions as well, you know?
Of course, I mean,
For sure. But I think, like, sometimes we go to fear too easily, because it's an easy thing to go, like, listen, that's because of fear, buddy. That's why you're doing it. And it's tough to argue against.
So
it's almost like
what you're telling me is sometimes people lie because they're dishonest.
Well, it's almost like when someone calls someone like a racist, there's no there's no response to it.
Yeah.
Because like anything you say sounds like someone's being defensive. Like, well, no, but also it could be this, right? Nope, it's fear.
Okay, well, maybe clearly I can further refine how I meant, which is that when you're in a situation of fear, that it's better to be honest. When you're lying out of fear, it's better to be honest.
I will have to percolate on that. But I'm fearful we're running out of time. What have you got on the computer screen,
You brought
Dave?
Up Jane Austen, and I just wanted to thank one of our listeners. One of our sneakers, Stuart, who was nice enough to send me a link for a podcast about Jane Austen as a game theorist. And someone has written, I guess they wrote a book or wrote an essay about Jane Austen's use of game theory. Obviously, she wasn't being a game theorist. She wasn't saying, you know what, I'm going to take this idea of game theory and I'm going to write a book. But what she did was she used, she could be called an early exemplar of game theory.
Right. In Emma, was that specifically the example?
They were using Pride and Prejudice as an example, because that's obviously the most popular book.
One of your favorites,
book,
okay.
Where the character was, where like Mrs. Bennet, the mother character, was using various tactics to create a situation for her daughters to get married. So for instance, the one of the scenes would be when Jane is invited to dinner with the sisters of Bingley at Netherfield. When the mom character discovers that the male characters will be away at a different meal, then she creates a situation for her daughter to have to stay overnight. So she makes her ride a horse to Netherfield, and then the rain, so because she knows it's going to rain, and so when the rains come, she can't possibly ride home. The sting in the tail is that it starts to rain on her way there, and she develops a terrible cold and is forced to spend a week or more in Netherfield in bed with a terrible fever. And of course, in those days, you know,
feeling a little hoarse
and obviously very dangerous because, you know,
a cold would murder you.
That's right. A cold would murder you. And so, but what's interesting in, so this guy's using
nasal colds, Jack the Dripper. Back then.
So this guy was using these as examples of game theory, which is interesting. One of my problems with these sort of things, of course, is the fact that I always like it when people just sort of name something that everyone does, and that becomes something, right? So, of course, people are manipulative or use tactics. That's not uncommon, you know? And so you could say the same thing about Trollope, that he was a game theorist. In lots of his novels, there's lots of examples of ants and mothers using various stratagems to try to bag the wealthy heiress for their son.
We just went and saw Hamlet. Not a great production. But you could also go game theory on Hamlet quite easily. Yeah,
sure. Because you're observing human life. And
everyone tried hard. Let's just say they tried hard in the production. Good. But yeah, tone it down, fellas.
Good. Anyway, thanks for being honest. So, you know, you could say Shakespeare was a game theorist because in our lives we use manipulative tactics or strategies to try to get what we want. And that is part of human life.
Oh, so much as Shakespeare now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, everyone's making a deal with this and trying this and that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Our listeners want to... It's the Freakonomics podcast.
Right.
So probably if you put in Freakonomics game theory, Jane Austen, it would come up with that episode.
Right. It is a good one. I've listened to that one. Freakonomics Radio, I think, is the full name of it. Yeah.
I think it's their I'm not exactly certain what it was from this year, sometime either in
it was recent
April or
I sent
in
you
July.
I sent you a link to it and the Lizzie Bennett Diaries writers on the Nerdist Writers podcast.
Yeah, that was
so if you're Austin fans, both of those are worth checking out.
Worth a listen. Yeah,
let's wrap it up about 2 minutes. Is there any more?
I just want to say one more thing about
that.
It
is why I'm giving you the 2 minute mark.
You brought up Emma, and Emma would be example of someone using game theory where Emma decides that she is, because in one instance, her desire for two characters to marry comes off. She decides that she is now going to be a matchmaker. And through the rest of the novel, everything she does ends in disaster. Mm-hmm. But she is using all these strategies. She is using, you know, manipulative ways to try to get these characters together. The fact that she's totally misreading people's personalities is completely, has blinders on and can't recognize a person who loves her, who his opinions on all these things she's doing are correct. You know, it's funny. So it's sort of a criticism of game theory in that way, in the fact that in many cases, our attempts to manipulate and strategize actually don't work because, you know, there's things that exist outside of our, you know what I mean? Outside of us that cause love or cause, you know, not just the social realities of marriage in that time where, you know, had to marry within your class, you had to marry, if you were poor, you should marry money. And if you had money, you could look for more money, or you could marry someone beneath you, but you know, it had to be in all these particular ways. Right. And there could be love, but love existed outside of that, which Jane Austen knew perfectly well because she fell in love as a 20-year-old, but they weren't allowed to marry because he had no prospects of getting money. And so their marriage would have been, just would have been unhappy because in those days, if you were the gentry, you couldn't work unless you were a governess or something like that. So basically you just had to sit home and knit or crochet, you know, warm wool caps for poor people.
Until cholera took you.
Until the smallpox came.
Yeah.
And then...
Knock, knock. Who's there? Smallpox. Smallpox who?
Yeah.
Done.
That's it. There should just be smallpox who? And that's it.
That's basically there how that go. Went. Yeah. We watched a little bit of Emma on I think Netflix or something. And
which one was it?
It was the one with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Not great, but it's okay.
Yeah, I agree. And just watching the whole thing, it's just so hard when you see so many people who live in the high life. Mm-hmm. You just picture like right outside, there's like some poor people just eating mud.
Yeah,
we're just not seeing that story. It's just like, how is this system? How is this system? There's something terrible that we're not seeing.
There is a weird.
There's Morlocks under that house that are pushing a wheel around. It's got to be getting whipped by a tiny dwarf. Yeah. Like there's got to be something awful.
You don't
underneath
see
this.
The kitchen staff and all the people.
Lord and no,
they're kind of like the house elves that you just, you know. So if you feel that way about it, you could have started, you know, the house elf freedom thing that Hermione had. But there is a, like, I've noticed in watching, like, some of the Pride and Prejudices, like in the 1995 one, there's like a scene of them having like this great ball, and there's this completely unneeded, unnecessary shot of a bunch of, you know, the people outside just doing nothing because they're not rich.
Yeah.
You know, and they're in charge of the horses, you know, so they're the drivers, or they're the like a stable boys or whatever position, the postilions or whatever, the people whose job was to take care of these animals while the people inside were having fun.
Yeah.
You get to stand outside and smoke your pipe and talk with your friends waiting around.
Yep.
Lucky you.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, standing.
But,
with
you
a,
know, in
with
terms
a
of terms of standards, to be a house, to be a servant in a household would be way better than being
I look at those, the people in the Jane Austen books, they all seem like they're having troubles. So I'm fine. I'll be out there smoking, clean up a bit of shit. That
they
sounds fine.
Upper class first world problems.
Yeah, but the other ones are eating pretty good. That's not bad. Okay, that's that brings us to.
Can I just say, since you brought up Emma, that the four. The four episode.
I was going to bring it together so well.
This is 1 second.
I was going to say, like the manure, we're at the tail end of this episode. That's what I was going to do.
You still could have said it.
I couldn't, because we would have forgotten by that point. This whole thing about horses. Go, please, wrap it. Go, do your thing.
I know. I was just going to say that in terms of Emma, there's a four episode version, I think, from the BBC that stars Johnny Lee Miller as Mr. Knightley, and I can't remember her name. It's like Romola Garay, G-A-R-A-I. Who plays Emma,
mm-hmm.
and does just that great, great job. And it's her, and it really brings out the humor of the book and sort of the happiness of it, which I think the Gwyneth Paltrow one kind of is a bit more staid.
I will then end this episode with a trivia question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Name a sitcom based on a Jane Austen book that lasted about a season.
A sitcom based on a Jane Austen book that
That's
lasted
right.
about a season.
Based on, it's not named after.
Clueless.
That's right.
Because the movie Clueless, of course, based on Emma.
And then
so.
It became a TV series with many of the same cast members who couldn't find other work.
Yeah.
Yep. So there. That was Jane Austen.
Got
She's
it.
Had a sitcom.
Over here. What
She's
do I get?
Made it.
Do I get $100 for that?
You get to watch Pride and Prejudice one more fucking
yes!
time. Okay. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. Has this been episode 90?
It's been episode 90.
Episode 90. Feeling findy. I'm Ian Boothby.
I am David Dedrick.
Go to our website. We appreciate any feedback that you have, positive, negative. Let us know what you feel about truth. How do you deal with mums? What do you do in your life? Do you like Jane Austen? Is Dave talking about Trollope too much? all that kind of stuff. We love to hear from you with everything.
Oh, yeah. One other thing. Do you
like it when I try to wrap up the show and Dave just knocks me off
well,
my
you just,
horse?
You just made me think of something, that if anyone has a movie they think should have ended earlier than it does...
Right.
Let us know, because we brought up Million Dollar Baby last week, and if people have a movie they think should end earlier than it does, let us know.
Me, I say Ten Commandments. Okay, end with the go
eight?
Cross in the Red Sea. That's the
stop at eight.
Stop at stop at eight commandments. That's right. Leave them wanting more. That's what the Bible says. All right. I'm going to wrap this up now. Ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
Sure.
This has been episode 90.
Yeah.
I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Dedrick.
Hopefully Dave turned on the microphones this time.
Oh, I hope
Thanks
so.
For listening, and have yourself a good day.
This is a journey upon which we shall make some remarkable discoveries concerning that inner realm which is a part of your consciousness this very moment.
This is a test. You were playing on yourself, but now it's time you awoke. out of sight.
Won't you tell them what your name is?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. MC 900 Foot Jesus. Exactly how did you come to the conclusion that truth is out of sight? Well, I was on my way to work one day. I spied a rocket ship. Some aliens abducted me and took me on a trip to a previous existence on another astral plane. I met a real nice lady there named Shirley MacLaine. The truth is not an obstacle for someone such as me, she said, because, you see, we all create our own reality. Problem should arise, the best thing you can say is don't worry, be happy, and have a nice day. Well, I thanked her very kindly for the excellent advice. She said she'd bill me later at a reasonable price. Then the aliens brought me back and beamed me down into this bar. But I could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the rest is silence.